These rockets are going to be launching in a Starship. Will eventually be launched with 28 of these 500,000 pound engines, 28 of them on the first stage. So you're looking at, you know, instead of, let's say, 7.5 million pounds of thrust on the Saturn V rocket that was a bunch of people just went with, you know, you're looking at 13, 14, 15, 16 million pounds of thrust, depending on how many engines you put on this thing. And then that will separate the second stage of the Starship section, which will be able to handle, it predicts, up to 40 or 100 people. You know, in that second stage, which successfully launched already once, unfortunately, it's going to land. Maybe it's going to successfully launch it this Tuesday and land. I was talking about that earlier. But anyway, that Starship piece, 230 feet tall, will eventually be put on this other 320 foot booster called the Super Heavy. So, you know, the whole setup will be almost 400 feet tall when it's done. Equal to, maybe even greater than the height of the Saturn V rocket. And it may run liquid methane instead of the liquid kerosene that the Saturn V ran on. Yeah, liquid methane, liquid oxygen. And the second stage or the cruise stage is recoverable. That will come back and land on a launch pad, which hopefully we can do on Tuesday. But so will the booster, so will the Super Heavy booster, 28 inches. That's going to launch. When that comes back, that's what he has planned, but reuses this thing over and over again. So, you know, his original plans were to have all these massive legs come out, and that takes up a lot of room, a lot of weight, to try to land this thing on a runway with legs. He plans on doing away with legs, and he plans on coming back down on the same launch run. Actually, it'll probably be a different launch complex. He'll probably launch on one and come back on the other one. And then be able to launch it on that one as well and go back and forth every other launch. And do it. He plans on bringing the rocket down, you know, slowly coming down next to the launch complex that he took off from. And the launch complex will have two gigantic steel arms coming out. And, you know, so as it comes down, it's going to come between the steel arms. He's got these aero fins on top, massive aero fins that he uses to, you know, sort of like wings. As it comes down, it's able to guide itself into its future location back to the launch pad. Big clamp, catch this vehicle as it's coming down. And after it catches it, stabilizes, it's got motors on the arms which will ride down the tower. And eventually put this first stage back on the stand that it launched from. That's the plan. So, you know, I actually saw a picture of what he's trying to do. Should have sent that over to Roy, but we'll see. I mean, that's a long way off, I think. He's probably got at least a year before he can do something like that. Plans on actually launching the boosters, test the boosters out toward the end of the year. Boosters will go up, fly over, come back and land. So you might have to have this ready, you know, by the end of the year. You might need a demonstration of a reusable Super Heavy booster being caught by this launch tower back. This I have to see. But Elon Musk promises a lot of things, and some of the things don't come true. Some of the things changes. Some of the things do come true. They might be, you know, years later. He's getting better at his predictions lately. His track record has improved. His outrageous ways of doing things. Any comments or questions? WSLN. KA2RY. Just that little broken up, try again.
QSL. I just want to say that you have a great program. I like the way you speak about the subject. You know, I was thinking perhaps of doing some creative project where you can narrate about space.
I'll copy that. Well, don't we already do that every week here? back to you.
Yeah, I think it's great. You know, I was thinking, you know, when you do the narration, I play some music, you know, some guitar music, and we just run it for like an hour.
Yeah. I guess we'll have to do a blog. No music allowed. That would be in the background. That would be legal. You know, we'd have our ID going for us. They always say CW is kind of musical. But yeah, thanks for that. Very good. Let me just do this other topic, which is coming up actually shortly, so I figured let me cover this next one. Unless you have something else, back to you.
No, continue on.
Okay, now I got the first prefix. ACQRY. Very good. Yes, I want to talk about the solar arrays on the International Space Station. This is why by massive batteries. We talk about for years now, but a couple of years they sent astronauts out to change out the nickel hydrogen batteries. That's what they call nickel hydrogen, not nickel hydride. Nickel hydrogen batteries changed out, including the original batteries for the space station. And there were, I think, 48 of these batteries that were eventually changed out on multiple spacewalks by different astronauts over maybe a 3-year period. And eventually, they get old. They had, you know, a 15-year lifespan. The space station has been up since 2000. Old panels have been up just, you know, about that long. But they changed out the batteries over all these years. Successfully replaced them with batteries that were actually made in Japan. So Japan had set them up in their vehicle, their cargo vehicle, they sent them roughly once a year. And they first did to the space station. They had robotic arms take the batteries out outside, and eventually they did spacewalks, and they took out all the old batteries, put in all the new ones, and many spacewalks. And eventually the old ones were put on the old vehicle, the old cargo vehicle, sent back to Earth, destroyed it, you know, over the South Pacific. But now we have all new batteries. The solar cells are starting to age as well. Now, solar cells put out roughly 160 kilowatts of power. They take, you know, you can power 40 homes with the amount of power that comes out of that. Well, roughly about half that power is always being charging batteries. now, lithium-ion batteries on a station. But, you have this output of the availability of 160 kilowatts daytime and nighttime. You go around the Earth nighttime 16 times a day. They have 16 days, 16 nights. Time it goes around. They charge, discharge, and so on and so forth over and over again. But they have continuous power to the space station. And it's more than they really need. But the solar panels are degrading over time. They lose their effectiveness. The gallium arsenide, massive 240-foot long solar panels, 40 feet wide. They have four sets of these things. Four sets in each set is a double set. So if you look at the space station, you'll see four long sets of panels. That's one of the reasons you actually cover the size of the area of a football field. That's why we can see it so easily from Earth when it goes over. The structure of the space station itself maybe is 220 feet long, but then you have the living parts of the space station. Then you have the solar panels, which are mounted on these gigantic truss sections, 11 massive truss sections. One with a series, one right after the other, and then they have these rotating structures on the end, which contain the solar panels. So these panels are starting to degrade, and they need to do something about it. So this is going to start, I think, very shortly. It's going up on a Dragon cargo vehicle next flight. Will be the first set. And they're going to send up six sets instead of eight sets that they would normally use. If you cover every one of them, it would be eight. They only need to do six. What they plan on doing is covering the old ones or portion of the old ones. It's not going to be in front of all of it, but probably about half of it of each solar panel. But to do that, they need to, they came up with this new system for putting the, for getting these arrays open. It's called ROSA. The company that designed this built the ROSA panel, a lot smaller than the one they're going to use. I tested it a while back. They sent it up in a Dragon cargo vehicle, and the robotic arm took it out, and it opened up. When they were done with it, they let it go. They did it. It just sort of burned up during the atmosphere. The system that they used to open it, instead of a bunch of flat panels that open up like an accordion with a bunch of hinges and all, they've done away with all of that. It adds a lot of weight to it. You need motors and cables and things to pull it open. They've done away with all of that. They came up with this new system called ROSA. It's an acronym for Roll Out Solar Arrays. And what they're going to do is, once it's mounted in position by this robotic arm, you have astronauts will do a couple of spacewalks to each set. When they're ready to do it, they'll send the signal, and little latches will open up, and that will allow these rolled up tubes. If you take a long tube and flexible type of material, you take a long tube like a maybe 3 inches in diameter and 40 feet long. Take the tube and roll it up like that, and then put it in, release that pressure. That will open itself up. It'll force itself into the position it wants. wants to be. It wants to look like a tube. It doesn't want to be rolled up. You take one and put it on one side of the solar panel, put one on the other side of the solar panel, and you can have them both rolled up, and then release the levers, and it will roll itself out. To the other side. And then in between the bar, you'll have a roll of solar panels, you know, flexible rolls, you know, one big gigantic toilet paper roll. These tubes will actually, you know, unfurl with no electrical power, no gas inside, like, you know, a neon type of, or an ion gun. And, you know, and in our gas, you don't need it. It's just going to be made of, like, this composite, flexible material. It will, you know, eventually wind up in this rigid position. And as it goes out, it'll be pulling the, pulling on the roll. You'll have this long solar panel, eventually. And then the spacewalk will eventually, astronauts will attach it, firmly attach it over the existing solar panel. Once that's completed, the astronauts will eventually take cables and connect them into the power supply. Like massive batteries. And instead of about 160 kilowatts of power, they'll now have 215 kilowatts of power. That's what they'll wind up with. And this will be able to add to the end of the lifetime of the space station. That's the deal. Space station will be plenty of juice. You know, they use the power on the space station to also keep the visiting space stations, whether they're Russian or American or Japan. For a one-time European space agency, when they used to send their cargo vehicles up, or the manned vehicles that go up the Soyuz and go to the United States. Send up the Dragon vehicle probably this year, they'll probably send the first Starliner vehicle made by Boeing that will be launched on an Atlas V rocket, and that will eventually attach to the space station, and they will have a crew of four. So we've gone from a permanent crew of six to a permanent crew of seven. You need more power, you have more experiments. That's what that power is for, and you have more spacecraft attached to the vehicle, to the International Space Station, so those vehicles need to be energized the whole time that they're up there, which is up to 6 months, that's the deal. That will complete the power improvements to the International Space Station that started probably 3 or 4 years ago. That will continue on for probably maybe a year or two more. The ROSA rollout solar arrays. Any questions or comments? This has been WS2N for the space portion of TechNet. We had a couple of topics that we'll pick up next week. That's the deal. See, with all the holidays, things tend to slow down, even in the space world, so I don't have that many topics. And now that they're over, new things are starting to happen, especially with the new administration coming into office this week. We don't have a new NASA administrator yet. Feinstein is still NASA administrator, but he will resign. We don't know who that's going to be. We'll follow that as time goes on. Let me turn it back to Roy. Before I do, I'll mention that Juan Marcos has the club info net on Monday night, so we have that on at 8:30, followed by Swappin' Shop. 73 for now, and we'll turn it back to where I know I went a little longer tonight, but so-so. AC2GSWS.
This is AC2GS. Well, Paul, you know, you can go as long as you like, except, you know, after midnight, the repeater shuts down. I'm always glad to hear you do the SpaceNet report. Now, I want to thank Paul for the SpaceNet report. I want to thank Andy for Andy's Corner, WACCDL. Thank everyone who participated tonight. I could not do this by babbling to myself. You know, that's the nature of a TechNet, is the interaction and participation of people. So I thank you all. Before we shut it down for tonight, I want to remind people that if you have a question, a topic, a puzzle, or you want me to tap Paul on the shoulder, the email address to me is mailbag@alphacharlie2golfsierra.com. That's mailbag@alphacharlie2golfsierra.com. Links to all precious things available to you. Own time and place, just type into your email browser, roy.ac2gs.com, and I'll give you a long list of interesting things to click at. And once again, I want to remind everyone that if they need an audio stream of a Limark repeater, it's available. I stream it almost 24/7 at tech.ac2gs.com. And as always, want to Mike AC2NJI for his wonderful archive site, amateurradio.tv. He has been archiving technical nets from Limark since September of 2006. So I thank him a great deal. And as always, well, let me drop this down. Okay. As always, want to remind people, a bit of wisdom from one of the wisest men that I've known, Dick, K2RIW, Silent T. He would often end the technical nets with some variation of the suggestion, be kind to each other. And as I've mentioned before, that's always good advice, but in these times especially, be kind to each other. We are living in dangerous times. The FCC is emailing us to remind us to obey the law. The COVID-19 is killing thousands and thousands of fellow citizens. The vaccines are coming online, but they don't help if people don't get vaccinated. So please try to get yourself vaccinated, get your family and friends vaccinated, and until this is over, please continue socially distancing and using masks. Be safe, be smart, and we'll be back here next Sunday night. Do it all over again. So I wish you all happy Martin Luther King's birthday, holiday, long weekend, and a safe week, and we'll talk to you again next Sunday. This is AC2GS, and I will be clear.
Yeah, Roy, you're still there. Wondering what FCC emails you're referring to. Haven't seen those WB2BS stuff.
Yeah, hi, Frank. They're actually being forwarded through RRL. They're on my website. You can just go to roy.ac2gs.com, and in part of today's entry, you'll see the letter from the FCC that basically says, look, guys, you know what's legal. Don't do anything that isn't legal. Kind of stuff. You know, you don't want to be the communications officer for some organization that thinks they're patriots, if you know what I mean.
Oh, that is interesting. That is fantastically kind of sad, interesting. Yeah, I was wondering about the radios those guys were using. Anyway, certainly, I know it's getting late. I don't want to prolong this to you. And as I said, I was pleasantly surprised. You're probably surprised also that Avi Loeb to be the first guy, authoritative guy, to debunk the signal supposedly from Proxima. 7-3 was, because it's 2BX. So.
Yeah, 73, Frank. Like the old bad movie said, at least he brought some balance to the force. I really, when I read his name, I just try and pass over whatever the hell the story is. So I'm thankful for small favors on his part.
Yeah, I thought we'd get a kick out of it, but he's the one who was kind of obviously a celestial signal. Perfect, BBC-BX stuff.
Well, I guess he's a bit of a joke in the university, so he's got to balance it out sometime. Anyway, Frank, have a safe week. Hopefully we'll talk again. This is AC2GS, and I'll be clear.
Tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL receiver. Tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater. Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL receiver. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
This is the W2VL repeater. Good morning, the time is 5 o'clock a.m.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
N2TQIR frequency.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.